The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
The best evidence suggests that the kind of bat from which this virus jumped to humans wasn't even present there.
But you know the worst of all, whether it came from the lab or came from the bats or came, it all came from China.
Because we don't know where the novel coronavirus came from yet, the conspiracy theories fill the void.
I'm telling you, the Chi-Coms are trying to weaponize this thing.
Here's conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh with zero proof, suggesting a Chinese bioweapon lab is to blame.
It's this question about the Wuhan lab. We know that it's been debunked.
Those same agencies now have been tapped with investigating one of Trump world's most favorite conspiracy theories.
This week, Donald Trump is still pushing the debunked bunkum, despite his own intelligence community's findings that that is simply not true.
And there is simply no reason to believe that that is the case. There is no empirical evidence to verify that.
Coming up with a conspiracy theory to try and foment xenophobia with respect to the Chinese has just as much factual support as taking Clorox.
He can't just sit back and let the doctors and the scientists do their jobs. He's got to chime in.
He may pick up the conspiracy theory that this was some weapon.
People don't keep bats in captivity. Complete baloney.
We don't need to invoke conspiracy theories.
This is just another example of the president trying to change the narrative from his own failings.
The problem for President Trump is that he's running for re-election, is looking for ways to deflect blame for the performance of the administration.
If you look at the evolution of the virus in bats and what's out there now, it's very, very strongly leaning towards this could not have been artificially or deliberately manipulated.
So I wanted to ask, are you still confident that it developed naturally?
No, actually, that's the point that I said. No, I'm not convinced about that. I think that we should continue to investigate what went on in China.
There's your super cut from Grabian, one of the best that they've put out. They've put out quite a few good ones over the years. But that one, that's pretty much been the message for the past year, coming from the propaganda media, that if you believe this virus, if you believe it started in that Wuhan lab, then you are crazy. You are a conspiracy theorist. We'll get into that in some detail here in just a moment. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget about the email address. You can submit some feedback to the program if you like. Write us at td@thetrumpet.com. That's td@thetrumpet.com. You can also call our operators to request any and all literature that we offer freely on this program. No cost or obligation for anything that we offer. 1-866-930-3024. That's 1-866. It's a toll-free number if you're in the United States and Canada or the Caribbean. 866-930-3024. You can get to the live stream, the live video stream of this program at our website, thetrumpet.com. So if you're one of our new listeners at CRN Digital Talk Radio, we're happy to be on those platforms with CRN. But if you'd like to see the video presentation of this show, then be sure to visit thetrumpet.com. And you can go to the Trumpet Daily page on the website. Or if you're just going to the website at around the time that we stream this live, you'll see a big banner at the top of the website that takes you right to the video stream. And underneath the video stream, I should mention, there's a backup stream as well, just in case there are some complications with the main stream. Also, again, I saw the second rehearsal. I was only going to go for a few minutes yesterday to view Celtic Throne, but it was so much better even than the rehearsal they had on Monday. I couldn't peel myself away from the comfortable seats in the Armstrong Auditorium. But Celtic Throne, I should say, may be coming to a city near you. If you live in the United States, south in Texas, in Oklahoma, I guess the southern Midwest. If you live in Tennessee, Alabama, Little Rock, Arkansas, these are some of the areas that Celtic Throne will be touring over the next 5 or 6 weeks. So go to CelticThrone.com if you'd like to secure tickets for that show. The first road show is next Wednesday in Irving, Texas, so right in the heart of Dallas, Fort Worth. And so if you're down there in northern Texas and anywhere near the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you can, again, reserve your tickets today for the show in Irving, Texas. This is from John Cass. He writes, yet until quite recently, this is talking about the place or where the virus originated. He says, yet until quite recently, anyone who dared suggest that the virus may have leaked from a laboratory in Wuhan, China, a theory that ran counter to the approved version of the Chinese Communist Party, that someone ate or came in contact with an infected bat from a wet market, were dismissed as dangerous, perhaps insane. Why, you might be insane. You just heard it in the montage. You're insane to believe that it came from the lab. Because, well, that's what President Trump, that's what he proposed early on in the pandemic. This was back in April of 2020. And of course, if you know anything about the propaganda media, if Donald Trump says one thing, then they're going to take the opposite position, even if it aligns with the CCP. That says something, doesn't it, about the Western media, particularly the propaganda media here in the United States. They trust the CCP more than they trust Donald Trump or his supporters. That's the truth. And we see evidence of that every single day. Well, now the truth comes out. And now the propaganda media are admitting that, well, I guess it did come from the lab, as it turns out. Just like President Trump was saying back in April. This is April of last year, so April 2020, clip two.
Have you seen anything at this point that gives you a high degree of confidence that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was the origin of this virus?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And I think that the World Health Organization should be ashamed of themselves because they're like the public relations agency for China. And this country pays them almost $500 million a year. And China pays them $38 million a year. They shouldn't be making excuses when people make horrible mistakes, especially mistakes that are causing hundreds of thousands of people around the world to die.
That's President Trump from last April, so over a year ago. And he correctly pointed out there, too, that the WHO, the World Health Organization, provided cover for the lie. But he should have added, so did the propaganda media. They provided cover. They were doing the CCP's bidding. They, too, were lying all through the pandemic. You remember how hot and bothered they were just when President Trump would call it the China virus. How dare you call it China virus? That's racist. This is from Mike Pompeo. He was on a Sunday show soon after President Trump made those statements you just heard there. And so then Pompeo, the Secretary of State at the time, he was asked about the place that this originated, this virus. Clip three.
Mr. Secretary, have you seen anything that gives you high confidence that it originated in that Wuhan lab?
Martha, there's enormous evidence that that's where this began. We've said from the beginning that this was a virus that originated in Wuhan, China. We took a lot of grief for that from the outset, but I think the whole world can see now. Remember, China has a history of infecting the world, and they have a history of running substandard laboratories. I can tell you that there is a significant amount of evidence that this came from that laboratory in Wuhan.
So that was Donald Trump's Secretary of State last May, May the 3rd, saying there's a lot of evidence that shows this. And his State Department, by the way, they were preparing conducting an investigation into where it originated. And they came out with some talking points on their findings in January, just before President Trump left the White House. And then we find out this week as well that the Biden administration squashed that investigation. And we'll get to that a little bit later. I don't want to get ahead of myself. If as I say, if Donald Trump says one thing, you know the way the American Marxists are going to respond. Their thinking aligns better with the CCP. They were doing their bidding for well over a year. But think about the two most important truths about coronavirus, where it started, and the fact that its mortality rate for those infected. Donald Trump was right on both of those counts. He said it started in the Wuhan lab, and then he said the mortality rate for those who are infected is much, much lower than what everyone is saying, than what the WHO is saying. Who can forget the WHO coming out last year saying 4% of the people who get this virus are going to die? And Donald Trump said, no, it's much, much less than that. In fact, it's much, much less than 1%. It's into the fractions. He was right about that as well. Speaking of who is right, I want to refer you to the Trumpet magazine. This is the August issue. I went through some of this last week. It's still, just reading through the article again this morning, it's astounding how accurate it was. The Trumpet, from the very beginning. This was the articles were prepared probably in July of last year, maybe June. Right at the peak levels of the global pandemic. The article is, where is the China-America clash leading? Where is this leading? It's a powerful article. Tomorrow's news today, that's what you get with the Trumpet magazine. If you are not a subscriber, call our operators 1-866-930-3024. Call our operators today and make sure that you subscribe to the Trumpet so that you can know tomorrow's news today. This is in that article. It says, the coronavirus crisis has exposed the true nature of the Chinese Communist Party as nothing ever has. It should be a sobering warning to the entire world. We've talked a lot about how God is going to expose this American Marxist movement. Well, the Chinese Communist Party is also being exposed. It says here, for years, China has worked ferociously to surpass the U.S. in economic power and scientific advancements, I should say. The Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, is also amassing staggering levels of military power. And he gets into that in the second half of the article. So it talks about, as you've got the pandemic on this hand, and China clearly weaponizing it, whether or not they purposefully let it go from that lab or not, I guess we don't know those facts, but they certainly purposely concealed it once it was out. And you had all of these people from Wuhan and thereabouts traveling all over the world, and China knew. All of that's covered in this article. But as you have that going on all through last year, then you have China on the march, making its advance through the South China Sea. Soon it'll be Taiwan. All of that's covered in this Trumpet magazine, and it's a magazine that's almost a year old now. My father writes, meanwhile, the coronavirus and the CCP that the CCP unleashed on the world has cost the U.S. trillions of dollars. America's national debt keeps climbing toward $30 trillion. It says this weakness may be a major factor that strips the U.S. of its superpower status and a lot more. Look at what it's doing to America and to Britain. It's still, we're kind of staggering out of lockdown. And now we find out where this came from and who is responsible. It says, as China does all it can to hasten America's decline, the China-U.S. relationship is becoming a tense clash of economic giants. And he says that clash was prophesied. It's in your Bible. You think China's satisfied with the way that this is beating down the United States and Britain? Of course, they're ecstatic. They've got 1.3 billion people. It's a communist dictatorship. They don't care. about losing 1, 2, 3, 10, 12 million people to this sickness, to this disease. But they sure love seeing what it does, not just to the American and British people, but to our economies, to our nations. A man-made plague. That was a subhead in the Trumpet in the August issue. A man-made plague. And to say that at any time last year, why, you were possibly insane. So who's insane now? Which ones were struggling with insanity last year? My father says, on May 3rd, Secretary of State Pompeo said, I can tell you that there's a significant amount of evidence, and he's quoting from that exchange I just played a little bit for you, that exchange from May 3rd of last year, the fact that it came from a laboratory in Wuhan, and my father says, this is an alarming reality. I mean, this is alarming. This is an attack. This is war. It says in a May 4 bombshell, so this all happened around the same time as that interview with Mike Pompeo. It says in a May 4 bombshell report about the Five Eyes coronavirus document, Australian Daily Telegraph, Sherry Markson, pointed out that in 2014, the U.S. withdrew funding to China due to fear over controversial experiments that make pathogens more potent or likely to spread dangerous viruses. It says the concern about Chinese laboratories has spanned U.S. presidential administrations, my father says. So this is about the gain of function that you hear about now in the news just in the last couple of weeks. And we were writing about it in August of last year. You may have seen it circulate on social media. I think it was Rand Paul who found the document from the Obama years that, you know, Obama came out and said, we're going to stop this gain-of-function funding because it's too dangerous to take a virus in nature and then to make it more potent, to make it more deadly, as they push to come up with the perfect vaccine. Even Obama in 2014 said, you know what, this is too dangerous. So if he put a stop to it in 2014, that begs to question, who started it? Who restarted it? And of course, that would be Dr. Anthony Fauci. Anthony Fauci, who initially said, no, no, never, never do we provide funding to that Wuhan lab. And now, of course, he's backtracking because he's been exposed as a liar. He's been exposed as a communist agent, a stooge of the CCP. That's what it is. Let's call it what it is. He's been doing the bidding of that lab in Wuhan and of the communist Chinese party. Absolutely, he has. In this Trumpet article, my father explained how that even going back to previous administrations, there were those who were sounding the alarm, saying, no way should we be funding this. Listen to, this was just in a hearing yesterday. You have Senator Kennedy from Louisiana questioning Dr. Fauci over this funding, this gain of function. You give them the funding, and then what do they do with it? Well, Fauci says, oh, it was just good things. Certainly not gain of function. They certainly weren't tampering with these viruses and making them more potent or anything like that. There were no gain-of-function activities. That's what he tried to say yesterday. And then even there, he was exposed. How do you know? This is clip 4.
Why are we giving money to the labs in China to study virology?
Well, I'm going to give you a rather succinct answer to that, sir.
I appreciate that.
And that's why I was saying the SARS-CoV-1, clearly, the bats that have the viruses, that are the coronaviruses, are in China. As I said a couple of times, it's not in Fairfax County, Virginia, or is it in New York? It's in China. So if you want to show and study, importantly, the animal-human interface,
Where the bats are.
Yeah, the bats. Okay. Where the bats are.
Okay, that's where the bats are. So we need to fund the Wuhan labs because, well, that's where the bats are. You can't make this stuff up. I just read to you. The United States of America is in a $30 trillion hole. And why would we be providing any funding for anything like this anyway? Leave aside gain of function for a moment. How dangerous that is. You mean China? You mean the CCP heading up a nation, the number one manufacturing nation in the world? They can't fund their own study into virology? They can't do their own sponsorship of gain of function? It has to be Fauci and his group? I guess so. I guess that's the way it works in the upside down world. Dr. Anthony Fauci funding the Wuhan lab. And now the truth is coming out. You know how he denied it initially in that exchange with Rand Paul just a few weeks ago, earlier this month, clip 14.
Dr. Fauci, do you still support funding of the NIH funding of the lab in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, with all due respect, you are entirely and completely incorrect that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute.
Do they fund Dr. Barrick?
We do not fund.
Do you fund Dr. Barrick's gain-of-function research?
Dr. Barrick does not doing gain-of-function research, and if it is, it's according to the guidelines, and it is being conducted in North Carolina.
So do you still support sending money to the Wuhan Virology Institute?
We do not send money now to the Wuhan Virology Institute.
Do you support sending money? We did, under your tutelage. We were sending it through EcoHealth. It was a sub-agency and a sub-grant. Do you support that the money from NIH that was going to the Wuhan Institute?
He said very clearly, we do not send money to the Wuhan lab. And Rand Paul corrects him and says, yes, we do. It's through EcoHealth. Fauci tries to make it sound like it's heading off to North Carolina and it stops there. It's funneled all the way through to Wuhan. Now we're finding it out. Hundreds of thousands, millions. And he did support it. He signed off on it. And so now he says, okay, well, yeah, it did. I'm glad you asked me that. This is why we have to send money to Wuhan. It's because that's where the bats are, you see. That's the bats. The bats are in Wuhan. They're not in Fairfax County. No, they're in Wuhan. The Wuhan bats need to be studied. So they need our money. We need to borrow more money. We need to print more money in the United States so that we can study the Wuhan bats. So here he is, if you fast forward to yesterday, here he is again in this exchange with Senator Kennedy, clip 5.
You didn't give money to the Wuhan lab to do gain-of-function research.
That is correct.
And you believe they didn't do gain-of-function research because they told you they didn't. You gave them money and you said, don't do gain-of-function research.
Correct.
And they said, we won't.
Correct.
And you have no way of knowing whether they did or not, except you trust them. Is that right?
Well, we generally always trust the grantee to do what they say, and you look at the results.
Have you ever had a grantee lie to you?
I cannot guarantee that a grantee has not lied to us, because you never know.
Just straightforward questioning. Has anyone ever lied? Well, now that you bring it up, I can't guarantee that they didn't do any gain of functioning. Previously, he said, Senator Paul, you are completely incorrect. We have not funded the Wuhan lab. These are all statements within the month of May. This is someone who flip-flops more than a fish out of water. The lies, no mask, yes mask, two masks. And then now all of this. I want to refer you back to the Trumpet article here again. This is from the August issue last year. Where is the China-America clash leading? My father says, in a May 4 bombshell report about the Five Eyes coronavirus document, Australian Daily Telegraph's Sherry Markson pointed out that in 2014, well, I think I read this part earlier, It was about basically how Obama put a stop to this practice. No funding for these kinds of institutes because of how dangerous it is. Fear over, quote, controversial experiments that make pathogens more potent or likely to spread dangerous viruses. See, as I say, that's all over the news. That's all over the news over the last couple of weeks. You heard it first at thetrumpet.com. Tomorrow's news, today, and from 2014 when Obama shut it down again, this says a lot about Anthony Fauci and the power he has to restart it when he saw fit. He was talking. If you go back to some of the seminars and such that he can, before he was a household name, he was out there at the start of the Trump administration talking about a pandemic is coming. It's almost like he knew. Listen again to an exchange with Senator Kennedy yesterday, clip six.
Dr. Fauci, I believe you have testified that you didn't give any money to the Wuhan lab to conduct gain-of-function research. Is that right?
That is correct.
How do you know they didn't lie to you?
Excuse me, sir?
How do you know they didn't lie to you and use the money for gain-of-function research anyway?
And then that's when he goes on to say, well, you know, I can't be sure. I can't guarantee what they did with it. He trusted the CCP. Where's that same level of trust for your own president going back before the fake presidency or for your own administration? Donald Trump, Secretary Pompeo, Mike Pence, and so on. This Trumpet article from last year, it says clearly the coronavirus is a man-made plague. I mean, that's pretty bold for the Trumpet to say that. Clearly, it's a man-made plague. In other words, gain of function happened. And now that's being widely accepted today. It was tampered with. It may have been taken out of nature, out of the animal kingdom, but it was manipulated in that lab. And that's what it sprung from. And you had all these whistleblowers, didn't you? There at the tail end of 2019, all of these Chinese scientists trying to tell the world. And then they suddenly disappeared. The CCP blotted them out. But now we know from Secretary Pompeo's work, the investigation that was squashed by Biden, revealing that the first three people with COVID-like symptoms came out of the Wuhan lab. My father wrote, what does that tell you about the country responsible for it? If it's a man-made plague and it's spread right around the world, what does it tell you about the country responsible for starting it? He says, it's also now well established that in the early days of the coronavirus outbreak, the Chinese Communist Party deliberately suppressed reports about it and even destroyed evidence of the outbreak. Yeah, there's no outbreak going on. And the WHO, they're saying, yeah, there's no outbreak going on. Even as these infected Chinese people were flying in and out of Italy or New York or the heart of Europe somewhere, London. All of these lies being exposed, including the lies of the best known medical professional in the United States, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Listen to one last exchange between Senator Kennedy and Dr. Fauci from yesterday, clip seven.
Well, we've seen the results of the experiments that were done and that were published, and that the viruses that they studied are on public databases now. So none of that was gain of function. So
how do you know they didn't do the research and not put it on their website?
There's no way of guaranteeing that, but in our experience with grantees, including Chinese grantees, which we've had interactions with for a very long period of time, they're very competent, trustworthy scientists. I'm not talking about anything else in China. I'm talking about the scientists, that you would expect that they would abide by the conditions of the grant, which they've done for the years that we've had interaction.
He's making a distinction there between the scientists and of course the Communist Party, as if they're not one and the same. Who controls the Wuhan lab? Even this article I have from CNN yesterday, this was about the Biden administration squashing the Trump investigation into this. I'll get to that here in just a second. Let me just finish one last exchange here between these two. Clip 8.
So you don't think the Chinese would lie to you?
Well, when you say the Chinese are a rather broad group. I know the scientists that we've dealt with have been trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. You think all the scientists have told the truth in terms of the origin of the Wuhan virus and not been influenced by the Communist Party of China, do you?
I don't have enough insight into the Communist Party in China to know the interactions right. between them and the scientists, sir.
Right.
Right. Here's what my father said last year. China has lied, buried the truth, and refused to let experts in to examine evidence, all the while hoarding medical supplies. Everyone knows China is covering something up. China caused the plague. This is brazen aggression. This is on the level of an act of war. Now, that's not the trumpet riding this month, now that we know all this about where it originated. That's the trumpet. That's the Trumpet magazine last August. That's the Trumpet magazine almost a year ago, 9-10 months ago. Tomorrow's news today. So here's this CNN report. It says here, and again, they had to, the fake administration had to get out in front of this because they knew it was about to be revealed. This is the point that Conservative Treehouse made yesterday. They knew. And so whenever it's the Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN coming out with this bombshell revelation that doesn't make the Biden administration look very good, you can be sure that it was about to be leaked. So here's CNN yesterday. It says President Joe Biden's team shut down a closely held State Department effort launched late in the Trump administration to prove the coronavirus originated in a Chinese lab over concerns about the quality of its work. I see. So you can't trust the Trump administration. You can trust the CCP. But you certainly can't trust Secretary Pompeo's State Department. It says, according to three sources, it says the existence of the State Department inquiry and its termination this spring by the Biden administration, neither of which has been previously reported, comes to light amid renewed interest in whether the virus could have leaked out of a Wuhan lab with links to the Chinese military. So even CNN says the lab has links to the Chinese military. And there you have Dr. Fauci talking about the good scientists. Well, now, when you say the Communist Party, or when you say Communist China, I mean, that's a little, that's a broad swath of people. The scientists in the lab, these are honest actors. Well, maybe the ones that were trying to get the message out to the world and then disappeared, maybe they were. But this is an institution with links. It's an extension of the CCP. The Chinese military. They have these labs because they're making bioweapons. And like my father says in the Trumpet article, this should be obvious. This is communist China. This is a communist dictatorship. And they want to bring the United States down. This is an attack on the United States. And the propaganda media in the United States to take it, this weapon, and to use it as a pretext to then go after the Trump administration, as a pretext to clear the way for all those mail-in ballots because they wanted to take down Donald Trump. You can't trust him, right? You can't trust Secretary Pompeo's investigation. So we got to get in there and stamp that out. Blot it out. Blot it out. And if the truth starts to emerge, well, then we'll kind of massage it a little bit in CNN or the New York Times. They know how it works. They know they've got their allies in the media. They know how to play the game. It says the Biden administration is also facing scrutiny of its own efforts to determine if the Chinese government was responsible for the virus. CNN writes, those involved in the previously undisclosed inquiry, which was launched last fall by allies of then-Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, say it was an honest effort to probe what many initially dismissed. that China's biological weapons program could have had a greater role in the pandemic's origin in Wuhan, according to two additional sources. China's biological weapons program. They may have had a hand in this. And the press only now is just coming around to take somewhat of an interest in this. It says the decision to terminate the inquiry, which was run primarily out of the State Department's Arms Control and Verification Bureau, was made after Biden officials were briefed on the team's draft findings in February and March of this year, a State Department spokesperson said. So they were briefed on the findings, and they said, this was back in February, they said, hey, we got to stamp this out. But now the truth is emerging. Now they know that even the truth about the investigation is about to... So CNN gives them a little bit of cover in the article saying, but don't worry, Biden. You see, Biden has launched his investigation. So it's coming from his people now, the ones that are close to him. And we'll know in 9 months, or rather 90 days. So 3 months. And that just pushes it. That kicks the can down the road a little bit. And hopefully by then it'll be a non-starter. It says, or rather this is Fauci, together with the NIH director, Collins, the same senator, Senator Kennedy, asked both of them, hey, do you know why? Or was this discussed with you guys? This idea, or rather this action to stamp out the investigation? Listen to this. This is an incredible exchange. Clip 9.
Why did y'all spike the prior administration's investigation into the origins of the coronavirus and whether it could have come out of the Wuhan lab?
Sir, we did not spike anything in the prior administration. I'm not sure what you mean by spike, but we have no influence.
The State Department spiked the prior administration's study.
But that has nothing to do with the National Institutes of Health.
So they didn't consult with y'all?
They did not.
Did they consult with you, Dr. Collins?
I read about it in the press this morning.
Doc?
No.
They just spiked it without talking to their experts? You don't want to answer that one, do you?
They spiked it without even talking to the experts. Anthony Fauci had nothing to do with it. He didn't even know about it. And the NIH head, the director, well, he read it. That was a line Barack Obama used to use, remember? I learned like you guys learned it, you and the media. I saw the headline on CNN today. It was spiked. Oh, it was spiked? Evidently, no one in the fake Biden administration saw fit to ask Dr. Fauci or this other one, Dr. Collins, about whether they should end this investigation into the origins of COVID-19, the worst pandemic, we've been told, in 100 years. And Fauci and Collins knew nothing about it. Well, we're going to have to push back some of the other news items that we have because I want to leave some time for our study today. But we're going to do something a little bit different today. Of course, we've only got till the top of the hour with CRN, the radio network that we're on. So we'll conclude the program before that. But if you'd like to stick around for after the top of the hour, after the top of the hour news here on our radio station, we'll be having a Trumpet Daily, a Trumpet Daily Extra to get to a couple more news items that I think... I just don't want to see it keep getting pushed to the end of my notes. So we'll come back from a short commercial. We'll finish the hour program with a Bible study and then continue on after the news at the top of the hour for maybe another 15 or 20 minutes. And if I might just whet your appetite for that Trumpet Daily Extra, we've got another Rachel Maddow meltdown over the audits going on in Arizona. In Georgia, so we've put together a little bit of a montage from her program last night. You definitely want to stick around for a few extra minutes so that you can hear that one. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, You can write us, td@thetrumpet.com. Don't forget about the toll-free number if you wanted to subscribe to The Trumpet magazine or request the United States and Britain in Prophecy, something that I plugged yesterday. Just call us, call our operators. It's a free phone call, and the literature is offered without cost or obligation as well. Just dial 1-866-930-3024. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
In the news that Richard gathered from our Edstone office this morning, he saw this piece, "Study Suggests Christians Lack a Biblical Worldview." It's reported on at PJ Media. And it says here, although a majority of American adults identify as Christian, only 6% of Americans actually live out a biblical worldview. It says here, further on, in coordination with the launch of the Center for Biblical Worldview, FRC commissioned a survey of 1,000 American adults. The survey found that while 51% of adults claim to have a biblical worldview, only 6% of them actually answered worldview questions in a manner consistent with the Bible. In other words, there's a lot of people in the United States that consider themselves to be Christian, but they don't really live according to the principles of the Bible. That's what this study is finding. And of course, as Richard noted, even in the study itself, you find quite a lot of ignorance with respect to what the Bible actually teaches. That's maybe a separate topic that we can delve into later. One of the questions was, which of these statements best describes your view of the human condition? And really, the options or the answers that the survey provided, none of them were really biblical. One was, people are born into sin and can only be saved from its consequences by Jesus Christ. Well, that was actually the correct answer on this survey. Born into sin and can only be saved from its consequences by Jesus Christ. Of course, there's a lot more to be said about what was the original question. Which of these statements best describes your view of the human condition? There's all kinds of scriptures, of course, that we on this program could bring to your attention about the nature of man, Jeremiah 17:9 and Romans 8:7, how that Paul in Galatians 1:4 says that this world is evil, the present evil world, and there's reasons for that. You look at 2 Corinthians 4:4 about Satan being the god of this world and how that he's deceived the whole world, Revelation 12:9. So that's why the human condition is as it is. And what's the solution? Well, I'm not sure if that's even in the survey. In any event, I'll give them a little bit of credit. But you have to even the correct answers to the survey questions are incorrect. That's the state of the traditional Christian religion today. But the premise is true. The fact that there's millions of Christians who don't actually practice the true inspired teachings of the Bible. And as I've explained on this program before, if we're not practicing what it says in the Bible, but we're holding up the Bible as our supposed guide, well, we're nothing more than hypocrites. Beware the leaven of hypocrisy, said Jesus. He encountered a lot of that in the first century. People who said one thing but did another. They didn't practice what they preached. We wrote years ago This goes back to 2005. This was a different study and a relatively old one now, 15, 16 years ago, about young people who claim to be Christian. And it made some of the same points. This is what we said at the Trumpet. Here again, if you don't have the Trumpet magazine, make sure that you subscribe to the magazine. You can get a free one-year subscription if you just call the 800 number, 866-930-3024. This is what we said in the Trumpet. While they may profess the faith and indeed love Jesus, the vast majority of Christian teenagers in this country actually hold beliefs fundamentally antithetical to the creed, writes Dale Buss for the Wall Street Journal. According to data cited in the article from the Barna Research Group, a widely acknowledged source for U.S. Christian statistics, about one-third of American teenagers claim they are born again. 88% say they are Christians, and 60% believe the Bible is totally accurate in all of its findings, or teachings, I should say. However, slightly more than half of those teens believe Jesus committed sins while on earth, and about two-thirds say that Satan is a symbol of evil and not a living being. Just 6% of teens believe there are moral absolutes. And only 9% of born-again teens believe that moral truth is absolute. It says in a different survey conducted a few years ago, 91% of the so-called born-again teens stated that there is no such thing as absolute truth, compared to 52% in 1992. So, 92, it was 52% who said there is such a thing as absolute truth, or 52% who said there isn't. And then in 2005, 91%. And now we're from 2005, now we're up to 2021. The teenagers surveyed in that survey from 2005 that we wrote about at thetrumpet.com, they're now adults. They're now middle-aged. They're now 16 years older. They're into their 30s. You see the progression here. Philip Nice, who works in our editorial department, he was mentioning this morning, this point, how that if you go back far enough into the ministry of Herbert Armstrong, back into the 1960s, the 1950s, he wrote these articles, powerfully corrective articles, and he aimed it at traditional Christianity. And he had headlines like, Christians have lost their power. They've lost their moral authority. What's happening to religion? And then, like Philip was saying earlier, well, you come up with a title like that today, Christians have lost their power. It's so much worse. And some of the things that we're having to confront at the Trumpet magazine, at our website, on this program, transgenderism, mutilating your bodies. You see how that wouldn't have been in the plain truth in the 1940s and 50s. I mean, society had its problems and the direction was not good. And then you get to the sexual revolution of the 1960s, and I mean, it's been on a downhill slide ever since. But the point of it is, it's so much worse. And that's what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. That in the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse and worse. And that's what we're seeing. How religious is religion today? Do you see a lot of obedience to commandments? Do you see people revering the truth of God? Do you see people upholding the laws of God? We've been studying recently through some of the passages in the prophet Isaiah's book. And I've mentioned before just how often Isaiah is quoted in the New Testament. In fact, about 25% of the New Testament is just simply quoting or paraphrasing from the Old Testament. And you know why that is? Because God inspired the Bible from start to finish. It doesn't represent two different religions, the religion of Judaism on the one hand and then the religion of Christianity on the other. The Bible is inspired by God. And true Christians believe and follow the principles, teachings, and yes, laws of the Holy Bible. This is Isaiah 8 and verse 13. It says, "Sanctify the eternal of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread," verse 14 says, "and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." Peter paraphrases this in 1 Peter 2. Then verse 16, it says, "Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples." Bind it up. Hold on to these inspired truths. Write it down on a table or on a parchment. Isaiah 30 and verse 8 is for the latter days. Make sure that these verses inspired by God are canonized so that people can have the text later on and actually live by it. How many people do this? Notice verse 20. It says, "To the law and to the testimony." To the law and testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. It always gets back to the law, the testimony of God. If they don't speak according to this word, then there's no light in them. If you think about God's word from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, the reoccurring theme is obedience to God's law. If we obey, we'll be blessed. If we disobey, we'll be cursed. Jesus came as a light to this world, but it says in John 3 that men loved darkness. They prefer living in the dark. They might talk a good talk, pretend to be religious, say that they're Christian. But what do our deeds reveal? We always have to return back to what God's word teaches with respect to Bible prophecy. I've noted before, we've plugged the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. I've mentioned that a third of your Bible is prophecy. And what does the Bible say regarding prophecy? 2 Peter 1 and verse 20, "No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." The Bible, Herbert Armstrong used to say, interprets itself. You don't need any private interpretation. You just need God's interpretation. God will show you. God will teach you through His faithful ministers. If you go into that study with some faith, understanding that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, as it says in 2 Timothy 3, and with the willingness to search the Scriptures daily, as the Bereans did in Acts 17, to prove all things. That's 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Most Christians today, however, they don't believe and teach this. Even ones who are Christian, they look at the Old Testament, for example, as something that's just more of a, you know, historical literature, or as you heard in one of those surveys, Satan, it's more of an idea. He's not an actual being. I mean, come on. And the flood and that sort of, the flood didn't really happen. I mean, come on. The plagues of Egypt? That's ridiculous. But I'm a Christian. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Well, what about some of those miraculous events that Jesus Christ not only performed, but he referred to? He quoted the Old Testament often. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, "Prove all things." That verse again. "To the law and testimony." This is Isaiah 8:20. "If they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them." Well, that's all that we have time for on today's show. But don't forget, we've got a Trumpet Daily Extra coming up at thetrumpet.com/live. If you'd like to switch over to the live video stream of this program. But for the rest of you, we certainly thank you for joining us today. This is Stephen Flory, and you're listening or watching The Trumpet Daily. We'll see you next time.
afternoon. It's the top of the hour. You are listening to Trumpet Radio, KPCG.FM online and 101.3 FM in the Edmond, Oklahoma area. Here are the latest headlines from Feature Story News.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Chris Jones. US President Joe Biden has instructed America's intelligence agencies to investigate the origins of COVID-19. He's given them 90 days to report back with their findings. Jagruti Dave reports from Washington.
In an unusual move, Joe Biden revealed that US intelligence agencies are examining two alternative theories about the origins of the pandemic. The move also gives more weight to the theory that the virus emerged as a result of a potential laboratory accident in China, rather than the virus jumping from animals to humans. In March, a team of scientists from China and the World Health Organization wrote a report saying it was extremely unlikely the virus had originated in the lab in Wuhan. In his statement, the president said he had asked the intelligence community to redouble their efforts to get close to a definitive conclusion.
The Hong Kong government says public reluctance to be vaccinated against COVID-19 may undermine its ability to secure vaccines in the future. Health authorities say they may be forced to give away the city's surplus supplies to countries in need if the vaccination rate remains low. Richard Kimber reports from Hong Kong.
Hong Kong's mass vaccination program has been running for 3 months, but less than 1 million of its 7.5 million population are fully vaccinated. The city's chief executive, Carrie Lam, says a lack of trust in her administration is partly to blame, along with concerns over vaccine safety. More than 800,000 doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine are currently in storage in Hong Kong and are due to expire in August. The government says if these are left unused, they may have to be given away to other countries, and further deliveries could be postponed or cancelled if it appears they wouldn't be needed. The government is mulling expanding the vaccination program to younger teenagers to boost the rate and offering more incentives for inoculations, but is ruling out offering cash for vaccinations. Richard Kimber in Hong Kong.
The UK's Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, has denied claims of dishonesty made by the Prime Minister's former aide, Dominic Cummings. In a 7-hour inquiry on Wednesday, Cummings alleged that Mr. Hancock had lied to colleagues and the public, and that thousands of people had needlessly died throughout the pandemic. Speaking in the House of Commons on Thursday, the Health Secretary says he has been straight with people.
These allegations that were put yesterday and repeated by the Right Honourable Gentleman are serious allegations, and I welcome the opportunity to come to the House to put formally on the record that these unsubstantiated allegations around honesty are not true, and that I've been straight with people in public and in private throughout.
And Cyclone Yaas slammed into India's eastern coast on Wednesday, leaving tens of thousands of people homeless. This comes less than a fortnight after Cyclone Tukta barreled into India's west coast, claiming over 100 lives. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
The Trumpet Daily.
Associated Press this week just published a sort of bracing overview of how this is becoming a nationwide phenomenon, from Arizona to Georgia to Michigan to New Hampshire. And, quote, the profusion of audits alarms election experts, who note that the Arizona audit has set a troubling new precedent of third-party partisan review of the ballots long after elections are over. One voting systems expert telling the AP, quote, this is bad enough to see it happen once, but seeing it elsewhere in the country is, quote, dangerous for democracy. If we're going to become a country now where if you don't like the election result, you and other people you know can just claim the right to get the ballots and get the voting machines and take them for yourself and do whatever you want to them, and then you say what happened in the election. That's how we're going to do this now? It's not just Arizona. State elections officials are doing their best in lots of places now to try to prevent a perpetual cycle of election audits by random outside groups who want the election to have turned out a different way. I mean, if these third-party audits and the messes they are leaving behind are now going to become a nationwide problem, and they are, a problem that is just going to keep replicating itself over and over again in different places across the country, the thing that we are going to have to start talking about as a country is whether some sort of nationwide solution is required to stop this mess.
What are you so concerned about? A nationwide solution? In other words, the feds. We've got to get the bureaucrats from D.C. in there to stop what's happening in Arizona because it's spreading to Georgia. It's spreading to Pennsylvania. It's spreading to Wisconsin. It's spreading to New Hampshire. She's nervous, as I've said over and again. She's nervous, and she's speaking for the propaganda media. If the fake Biden administration doesn't do something right away, this is dangerous. We've just got to stop it. We've got to stop any recounts. We've got to stop any audits. We've got to stop any inspections of ballots or machines. And we've just got to play along with the lie. The big lie is that the November 3rd election was perfect. You know, these revelations about the Wuhan lab, what were the two big stories from last year? Obviously, the coronavirus pandemic, and then the election from November 3rd. And these two are connected. The one was used as a pretext for just a wave of mail-in ballots, within which there were lots and lots of fake ballots. We now know, and there's evidence of that. How do I know? Well, the affidavits, witnesses who swore under the penalty of perjury that they saw illegal ballots, that they saw ballots tampered with. And so no wonder Rachel Maddow and her friends in the propaganda media, no wonder they don't want the ballots inspected. Because there's already witnesses who've testified to the fact that there are a lot of fake ones in there. And so she says, hey, we've got to get the feds in here to look at this. This is dangerous. They don't want the truth to expose the big lie. They don't want the truth to expose the illegitimacy of the Biden administration. They don't want the truth to expose the Antiochus spirit behind what has happened over the past many months. This is from Georgia Star News a couple days ago. One of Georgia's top election officials said Trump supporter-ish kind of people prompted the audit of Fulton County's absentee ballots. And he also suggested those individuals are biased and cannot inspect ballots in an honest manner. Who is this official? Well, our friend Gabe Sterling. Remember him from a few months ago, going on and on about how, that's a good shot of him, but going on and on about how perfect this election was. You know what's interesting? Another little interesting wrinkle to this story is that Brad Raffensperger, he's the Secretary of State in Georgia, he's actually come out and said he supports the audit. He supports recounting or examining these 147,000 ballots. Now, that was unexpected. Or is it? Perhaps these are supposedly they're Republicans. Jeff Duncan, Gabe Sterling, Brad Raffensperger, the governor, Governor Kemp. But I wonder if the flip-flop on the case of Raffensperger, who has resisted and fought any attempt to examine the ballots, I wonder if the flip-flop is the surest indication that he knows the truth. He knows how many fraudulent ballots there were. And so maybe he wants to get on the right side here before it flip-flops in the favor of Donald Trump. Oh, well, I was always in favor of an audit. I mean, I even said so. When you guys started to inspect it, I came out and said, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Maybe he's coming under a lot of pressure. Maybe he's thinking about re-election. Maybe it's just purely self-serving. A strange little twist indeed. So Gabe Sterling says, you can't hand it off to random people who claim to be auditors with no election experience. The thing in Arizona and the thing with some people here, if it gets handed off to them, which I don't think it will be, is they are preternaturally disposed to find things that are normal processes and say, aha, this is fraud. And if they don't find it, says Sterling, then they may manufacture it. That's exactly what happened. A lot of those ballots were manufactured. And now he says that people coming in to inspect them are going to manufacture evidence of fraud. Well, hey, let's just look. There's both parties and outside observers are going to be able to view it. So let's just let it happen in the name of transparency. What are you so worried about? What are you so concerned about? Well, you don't get enough, not nearly enough coverage in conservative media, but the propaganda media, I mean, they are in, as I've said, they're in full meltdown mode to try to stop this from going forward. This is an exchange between a CNN host and the lieutenant governor of Georgia, who, as I understand it, is not going to be running for re-election. I think he also can see the handwriting on the wall. He knows what the people of Georgia are demanding. But here is a never-Trumper. He despises Donald Trump. These people, it's just like I was saying about Fauci, siding with the CCP over Donald Trump or all things Trump. These never-Trumpers, they side with the Biden people. They defend the Biden people more than they do Donald Trump, more than they do a fair election. Here's an exchange between the CNN host and the Lieutenant Governor, Jeff Duncan, clip 11.
Yet another ballot review moving forward in Georgia. This time, it's being led by this guy, Garland Favorito, co-founder of a group called Voters Organized for Trusted Election Results in Georgia. Now, according to the Washington Post, in 2002, he published a book questioning the origin of the attacks of September 11, 2001. He has also trafficked in unproven theories about the Kennedy assassination. And in 2014, he appeared in a video promoting the idea that the 14th Amendment was itself unconstitutional and argued that the federal government was therefore illegitimate and should be overthrown. Joining me now, the Republican Lieutenant Governor of Georgia, Jeff Duncan. Lieutenant Governor, does that instill confidence in you that that's the guy in charge of the group leading this audit?
You know, it still amazes me that any Republican thinks that doubling down on this election fraud debacle is a winning strategy.
So CNN sets it up perfectly for the Never Trumper by saying, oh, Favorito, he's Satan. He's the evil one that's trying to plot against the state of Georgia. And how do we know this? Well, The Washington Post told us. So, and then you get Jeff Duncan for his part saying, you know, I can't believe they're doubling down on this election fraud. He says this as he is leaving office and not seeking re-election. I wonder why. Donald Trump, of course, has been closely following all of what's happening in New Hampshire and in Georgia, as you just heard there, Arizona. He said this. This is one of his statements from the other day. New Hampshire's election audit has revealed that large-scale voting machines appear to count non-existing votes. State and local communities are seeking confirmation. It's probably true, but we'll soon know, says Donald Trump. That's regarding New Hampshire. Then he said this. Well, let me just back up first and take you through a paragraph from Real Clear Politics. But the title here is The Real Big Lie. Is that you cannot question elections. You just can't question it. It's got to be squashed. It's got to be blotted out. We've got to call in the feds. We've got to stop the recount and then stop you on social media or wherever if you even bring up the subject. This article says there have always been politicians like Liz Cheney, those who see their role as protecting the people from themselves, but it is a much more recent phenomenon for the media to take the side of politicians over the people. And in particular, to accept the word of politicians without testing it against the evidence. It says the Watergate break-in's connections to President Nixon never would have been discovered if the media were as obeisant to authority then as they appear to be now. But there is virtually no mainstream reporter who has done a deep dive into the many anomalies that marred the last election. There's not one mainstream reporter who's even willing to scratch beneath the surface. You see how they treat subjects like the origination point of the Wuhan virus. They just mocked President Trump for a year. They mocked him. They mocked Secretary of Pompeo In the case of the Biden administration, they come in and they put an end to the investigation into it so that they can do their own investigation, quote unquote. So if you think about these two stories and how that they are connected, if they got it so wrong on the Wuhan virus, where it came from, and the fatality rate among those infected, if they got that so wrong in spectacular fashion, could they be wrong about the election? Well, who has been willing to take a deep dive into all of the anomalies? Who's been willing? Not even judges, for the most part, have been willing to examine the evidence. Now, that may come later. We'll see. They just want you to shut it down. Shut it down. It says here, this is Donald Trump, a statement he made the other day. A new Ipsos Reuters poll, beliefs among Republicans, shows 53% believe Donald Trump is the president. That the 2020 election was tainted, 56% believe that. That the election was stolen or rigged, 61%. Now, I happen to believe that it's even higher because it's among Republicans. We've seen statistics saying that it's something like 80%. 80%. And you can't get one reporter from the mainstream to even delve into the subject, to even look into the evidence. Well, a few state legislatures, at least, are doing exactly that. Another story that I just want to bring your attention to, you may have seen footage. I'll play it here in a second. This reporter that's in downtown Minneapolis, and he's reporting on police reform of all things. And then right behind him, there's a drive-by shooting that takes place. Something like 30 or 40 rounds go off as people are running for cover. This is what happens when you defund the police. And then on the one-year anniversary, we just passed it this week, of George Floyd, his death. This is from Breitbart about the city of Portland. It says things got so bad in Democrat-run Portland, Oregon on Monday that some of the establishment, who generally seek to ignore and downplay Portland's ongoing left-wing rioting, actually felt the need to cover it. The rioting, some of them are even calling it rioting now. He quotes some of these sources. It says, far left ABC News, police declare riot in Portland as protesters mark 1 year since George Floyd's death. The far left NBC News, police declare riot after George Floyd commemoration in Portland. The far left Portland Oregonian, it says, Portland police declare riot, arrest five as marchers break windows on anniversary of George Floyd's murder. It says, actually, to anyone who's been paying attention to the ongoing destruction of Portland at the hands of left-wing terrorists in Antifa and Black Lives Matter, the only real news is that the media expressed some interest yesterday. The rioting itself is the usual. In other words, this has been going on for a year. The only interesting angle to this particular coverage, is that the media, some of them, are finally acknowledging that there's full-scale rioting going on. And it's just being tolerated by law enforcement in these Democrat-run cities. And there's no calls for investigation. There's no people in Congress rushing to the microphone to stand up for the police. There's no officer sicknicks in these groups, in these cities, that we need to defend or that we need to hold up as a hero. If anything, we need to remove the police in those cities. We need to defund them. And so that's what they did. That's what they did in Minneapolis. They defunded the police. And then there was a small part of the city that turned into that chop zone that they had in Seattle last year. And here is a reporter from that particular area. As I said, he's talking about police reform. And notice what's going on in the background. This is clip 16.
Well, look, it's not going to be signed in time, at least according to the timeline that the White House and U.S. President Joe Biden had. They wanted this bill of comprehensive police reform to be... just got to be careful here with some gunshots. Excuse us. It sounds like gunshots. I'll let you know what this is. These seem to be gunshots.
Get down! Where is that? We're okay.
That's what defunding the police looks like. There's your autonomous zone. Do you think the people living around there are happy to see the police go? Forget about the talking heads and the activists at BLM and Antifa. Do you think the people living in that neighborhood are happy to see the men in blue fleeing the scene, leaving the city, leaving the autonomous zone? Do you think they're happy to see them defunded? Here again, you talk about the big lie. Oh, yeah, these cities, they just want the police gone. They want to see the police leave. Really? Because that's what city life looks like when the police are nowhere to be found. The police chief of Seattle, the former one, Carmen Best, I think is her name, she was in the midst of an interview the other day. She was talking about the CHOP zone in Seattle. Remember last summer when the thugs just took over like 6-8 blocks in Seattle? They just took it over. They kicked out law enforcement, and law enforcement just let it happen. And then the media ignored the violence. They ignored it. They turned a blind eye to it. And here this is an African-American woman, the former police chief. And listen to what she says about the media coverage from last summer. This is clip 17.
And the other thing that I found very curious during that time frame was that the destructive behavior, for whatever reason, I'm not sure if there's a political reason or otherwise, did not get the level of publicity or media attention. As you know, I would read stories about, you know, the peaceful protests. I go, well, part of it was peaceful, but I was standing like 20 feet away from a hail of rocks. I was looking right at them, come hail down, like feet from you.
That's right. She was coming under fire from the bricks and rocks and so on. And she said, you know, I don't know why it didn't get more media attention. Why didn't they publicize the violent strain in these so-called protests? Well, because they want to cover that up or tell you, even as the city burns down behind them, that it's mostly peaceful. They didn't say that about January 6th. And in fact, January 6th was mostly peaceful. And there was no armed insurrection. There were no police officers who were murdered. And yet the propaganda media, they still perpetuate that lie. Well, take it from law enforcement. There's a woman that I presumably is probably a Democrat. Jacob Frey, obviously, the Minneapolis mayor. He's a radical leftist Democrat. Even he came out and said, this is what happens when you defund the police. This is why crime and violence is skyrocketing in Minneapolis. This is what defund the police looks like. I just want to refer you to one final story, just as a follow-up to the tribute that we did yesterday to Dr. Elat Mazar, the late Elat Mazar. We had this wonderful family relationship with her and her family for 15-some years, a relationship that will continue, even though she's no longer with us. But there's this piece at the Times of Israel. Fearless, pioneering, biblical archaeologist Elat Mazar dies at 64. Fearless. That's a good word to describe Elat Mazar. Yesterday, I think I said she was courageous. The stands that she would take, even in the face of all this criticism, these attacks coming from even some of her colleagues at Hebrew University, at the universities in Tel Aviv. Well, it's a pretty lengthy feature, but you scroll down, as I'm doing here on my computer, and it says here, it says, another somewhat controversial step in Mazar's career was her willingness to partner with Christian allies and financial supporters in continuing her work. It says, for her 2018 dig at the Ophel alone, the Philadelphia Church of God poured $500,000 into supporting the renewed excavations. So there we are, appearing in this story. It says, at a 2018 gala, King David Hotel event, we played some clips from that yesterday, in Jerusalem that launched an exhibition of rare First Temple period artifacts and unique seal impressions with biblical names at the Armstrong Auditorium in faraway Edmond, Oklahoma. She emphasized her family's long ties with the Christian community. And then it quotes from Ilhat Mazar, and as I say, I played some from her speech at that gala, that reception, just yesterday. But it says here, at the King David event, Mazar described how Herbert Armstrong, after meeting her grandfather in 1968, began sending over hundreds of Ambassador College students, thus enabling the excavation to be carried out for 10 continuous years as the largest excavations in Israel. I think we actually played that part from her speech on the program yesterday. And then it says finally, but something else had happened of no less importance. You'll remember this from the soundbite yesterday. A miraculous bond of friendship, love, and esteem was created right from the beginning between Mr. Armstrong and Professor Mazar. She said such a strong bond that not only lasted until the end of their lives, but continued to inspire us all. Great piece there from the Times of Israel about the death of Dr. Ilhat Mazar and her special relationship, that iron bridge between Herbert Armstrong and his work, God's work, and the work of the Mazars, spanning more than five decades. It's a nice little piece to end on. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to email the program, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show. We thank you for joining us on today's Trumpet Daily Extra. And we'll see you tomorrow.